Witches live among us in secret. Their magic passed down from an ancient race. Diluted, half forgotten, but dangerously powerful.
Greetings and well met, travelers. You have found your way to Dragonreel, a magical journey to the realm of fantasy movies.
Welcome back to the Dragonreel podcast. Thank you for joining us once again. Here in chair number one, I'm a 14th level warlock and there's nothing you can do. I'm Chris. And in chair number two, he's done the math, he's had the time, it's Pete.
Hey everybody, and I have crunched the numbers.
He has run the numbers, and you will not like them. No. Last but not least, one means nothing, two, a coincidence, in chair number three, trouble, it's Sharon.
Wait, now I get it, because there were not one fly, and not two flies, but three flies.
Very good.
Trouble.
Three flies.
So if I, you know, I would think, you know, one means nothing, two is a coincidence, three is a much stronger coincidence.
Right.
It's a slightly stronger coincidence, but four. It's still kind of a coincidence, but you're starting to suspect something.
Right. Yeah. So if you haven't guessed by now, from our riffing on the most famous scene in the movie, as famous as any other scene in the movie, being as nobody went to see this movie, it is The Last Witch Hunter from 2015, starring Vin Diesel, also produced by Vin Diesel, among other people. This movie did not do very well.
Wait, in the theaters?
In the box office,
okay.
This movie did not.
In the American box office, it did not do very well.
Right, it ended up finally making money overseas, but domestically, it did garbage.
Yes, but it was good.
We'll get to that.
I liked it.
Yeah, so The Last Witch Hunter is about a person who 800 years ago was hunted a witch down, killed that witch, sort of.
Wait, you didn't say the queen of the witches.
The witch queen.
The witch queen.
Yeah.
In a giant tree.
And killed that witch and spent the last 800 years hunting down witches.
Paying for it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. Hunting down witches, killing them until a truce was bargained out in the X century. I think they named it, but I've forgotten which century it was. And he only hunts down bad witches now. And he lets some witches live, he incarcerates others, and he kills the ones that are super bad.
No, I wanted to pull a Glinda and ask somebody if they were a good witch.
I don't think that's right.
Especially in that set of voice. How do you witch or bad witch?
They incarcerate all witches now that are bad. I think even
right, if... Right, he still hunts them down.
Right, he hunts them down, but I don't think he kills them.
I imagine that sometimes he has to, but...
Certainly doesn't put his lips on them, because that could be dangerous.
Yeah, he doesn't kiss them on the mouth.
Or anywhere, for that matter.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think there's any of that.
As a total aside, Len Wein died today.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is a sad day.
So, we were talking about The Last Witch Hunter.
Yes,
so the individual in question is named Calder.
So Vin Diesel said he was basing the performance of this character on a D&D character that he had played.
Like I said, ultimately cool guy.
Yeah.
Super cool.
I'm a big fan of Vin. I like that he's a geek. He's one of us.
Now, he might get upset if he heard you call him a geek.
Well, he's a gamer, like one of us. Can
okay.
we say that?
Okay, yes.
I don't think he would.
Yeah, I don't
think. He's a longtime gamer, and he also is heavily into
fantasy.
Games, like,
uh-huh.
Yeah, imagination.
Uh-huh.
Escapism.
Imagination, yes.
Yeah. In one of the DVD extras, he said he was looking for a part to play in a fantasy world. And this came along, and he really felt like he couldn't turn it down. This world is not our world. This is not how witches work in most other mythologies.
I thought there were some
mythologies in which there are immortal witches.
Okay. So the witches in the modern world, in this movie, in the mythos of this movie, are descendants of a race of witches that existed before mankind.
And the word was what?
Known as the Hexen.
Known as the Hexen, that is correct.
Yes. And some are good and some are bad.
Right, and not everybody who is descended from witches gets magic powers, as evidenced by Frodo later on in the movie.
Spoilers! No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to go heavy spoiler on this, because,
Right, of course.
Honestly, did you see that coming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was kind of telegraphed, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was kind of a giveaway.
Yeah.
He was always too willing to kind of walk away from evidence.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Now, okay, I disagree with you guys, because watching it for the second time today, I knew it because I know fantasy movies, but the acting didn't give it away.
It wasn't the acting, it was the context. It was the fact that he wasn't willing to follow through on certain things that would lead it to the Witch Queen's coven.
Hmm. But he did look up who the guy was on the FBI database, and...
Oh, it's not that he's purposely trying to stop Calder from doing his job. He's just trying to slow him down. Okay. I think he was trying to impede the investigation. Yeah.
I don't think that was obvious, and I think you could go either way arguing for it. So I can kind of see what you mean. So
you don't forget that not only have I seen this twice on streaming, I also went and saw it in the movie theater.
Mm.
Oh, you were the one.
I was the one who paid that money.
Okay, but when
I'm that $11.
But when you saw it the first time, did you already know that he was going to betray him?
I had a very strong suspicion, again, because of the fact that when Dolan the 36th dies,
yeah,
and they go to his house, he basically does like a once over. He goes, oh, nothing here.
Yeah, and he looks really, really nervous when Calder, you know, is suggesting that he might have had something to do with it.
Right, and there's also the fact that Calder stops and looks at the flies, and then suddenly everything, you know, he gets rid of the glamour, and Dolan the 37th's reaction is like, whoa! Who thought all of this stuff was suddenly here?
How did you do that? And then he looks at his... Yeah, but the explanations that he gives are like, well, yeah, you know, my hands are burned because I was in a fire when I was little. Right. And
yeah, but that, again, that's one of those things where it's kind of like, yeah, okay... So either you were turned by the other team at some point,
uh-huh.
You were always part of the other team. And as right. It turns out, it was
he was always part of the other team.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, so. I loved that he got it in the end, though. It's like, oh, you're...
Wait!
The bad guys... Wait, no, I meant in life. That he right wanted to get his just rewards. And I
he was a squib.
I absolutely love when people get their just desserts.
Well, I love it when evil is evil.
Yeah.
You know, when yeah. Obviously it's like, oh, let's say she did that for me. Yeah, you're not my kind.
Right.
Sorry.
And I liked that, too. I liked that they stuck, too, that the evil queen said, sorry, you don't have magic. I'm not.
No, you're no better than anything to me.
I'm right. You're clay. Didn't she call him clay?
Which is funny because his name was Dolan. Oh, no, wait.
Huh? Oh, right. I get it. I see what you're saying. So let's talk about some of the lines. Let's not talk about some of the lines. Let's talk about all of the lines. How was it? What went wrong in this movie? I have a notion.
No, I don't. I'm not going to go down that road because anything went wrong.
You know, Sharon, I'm trying to propel the show, and yeah, I think I'm trying to improvise, and I'm trying to get a yes and you're giving me a no instead.
Because I liked it. I liked the plot.
Improvisation.
I don't think
so. All right. Improv.
All right. I don't believe
Chris,
things went Chris, wrong.
Chris,
yes
and? I think that where that went wrong was some of the dialogue was a bit stilted.
Stilted? Yes,
what?
Some of the lines were not good.
From who?
Like, well, that him asking, from, you know, give me the magic. You know, that it was hard to say. And, you know, even Michael Caine. Michael goddamn Caine,
yeah,
has a couple of lines where I'm not entirely sure I would believe his performance. And we're talking about Michael Caine.
What did he say that you didn't believe his performance?
By a sheer presence makes any movie better.
Right.
But what? Which line?
Even Jaws 3D.
No, he was in Jaws 4.
Come on, I need an example. Oh, sure.
Jaws 4, that's the Bahamas one.
Oh, gotcha.
The conversation he had with Calder when they're both sitting on sofas enjoying a whiskey together.
Mm-hmm.
I felt the dialogue there was really kind of
relaxed.
Lucasian?
No, they were buddies.
Like not very good.
Well,
dialogue.
I liked. There's one line that comes out of that I liked, which was the I promised you that I'd serve you. Promised that I'd serve you unto death. No, I promised that I'd give you my life, but not serve you until I was dead.
Right.
That I liked that bit. I like the fact that he brings up the fact that even though he's part of an order, he saw himself retiring at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the line about the stewardess was funny, that he He said, you know, I want you to have more of a life and experience things and not be so lonely.
Very Alfred to me.
Mm. Alfred? Like Alfred and Batman?
Yeah, like when he was playing Alfred and Batman.
Oh. Did
he do a Batman movie the same year?
Have you guys ever met priests? I thought he was... Because I grew up...
Wait, priests are real things?
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding.
Wait a second, Dolans are real?
That means witch hunters are
no,
real.
No, I think that what you guys are
that's
saying...
That's awesome, which means witches are real!
I think what you guys are saying is that it was stilted, but priests are very formal, and it takes a lot for them to sort of kick back. So I think it was sort of meant to be like that. That's just my opinion.
But the pacing and the delivery seemed very Alfred to me, especially when he said, you know, you should live your life. Mm. You know?
Do you have that?
It is Alfred-like advice. I mean, because that is something that Michael Caine's Alfred kept telling Christian Bale's Bateman.
Yes.
Do you have any of these lines from this scene?
No, not from that scene. No, I didn't capture them because they weren't memorable lines.
Oh.
Because they weren't delivered very well.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to say they weren't delivered very well. I think they were delivered as well as those words could be delivered.
Okay, because you're like dissing Michael Caine.
No, I know, right?
And
it's hard for me to say that I didn't buy his performance completely in this scene.
I'm sorry, Michael Caine. My husband.
I'm sorry,
is
Michael Caine.
A dodo.
It's okay, Michael Caine. You've always been a little hard on Chris. Oh, way.
Wow. I think he was getting into character. He was playing a straight-laced priest that was just talking to his buddy, and those lines were fine for me. So I really don't know what you're smoking. You know.
Lines like this one. I mean, this actually made me laugh because it's sort of a wink to the D&D audience.
Okay.
Now Max is a 14th level warlock. There's nothing you can do. May as well relax.
Just calling somebody a 14th level warlock is just hilarious to me.
And he's saying that about Max?
Yeah, Max, the guy with the butterflies.
Wait, was that the blind guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I just say, I like that they put in a blind guy.
Of course, he's magical.
Well, yeah, he's magical, but he wasn't like a blind ninja. So.
But that's the other trope. There are literally two tropes about blind people. One is their magic. The other is they're a ninja.
No.
Sometimes they're a magic ninja.
The first one is that they're...
A lot of times they're
fortune tellers, and
not necessarily fortune tellers, but they're also advisors. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sometimes a lot of times they don't necessarily have magic, but you know, I was blinded doing something, and that gave me a wealth of wisdom too.
Yeah, he was just sort of a normal, well, not normal, but he was a low level magic guy. So I thought that was kind of neat that like my people were represented.
I don't know, 14th level warlock can do some pretty nasty stuff, including you know summoning minor demons.
Yeah. So okay, this is a little bit off topic, but a little bit on NPR today. I heard this whole thing about eating bugs. And then there's a scene in The Last Witch Hunter
where they're putting bugs in the
bakery
food.
And they're putting bugs in the food. And
but
even
those bugs aren't like for flavor bugs and they're not for nutrition bugs. Those are mind control bugs.
How do you know that?
I thought it was my understanding that they were supposed to cause like a psychotropic effect so that they would become addictive. So you'd come back to them.
So you'd always. So that's why there was a line out the door in the bakery.
Right.
There, exactly. There are some kind of magic, mind affecting magic bug.
Oh. Well, it was.
I don't remember the exact lines, but it was like in between in the subtext of the dialogue. It was stated.
I thought that was cool. I'm just saying it was like a cute little funny thing. And then of course here.
Not only that, but bugs are great protein. I don't see why
everybody was so bugs. They are great protein, and
they are.
Yeah. The funny thing the thing I found funny about that is that a bug bakery would probably actually do well in Manhattan nowadays.
Yep. No, it would. Especially for someplace like Soho or something like
because
that.
Because hipsters will do anything if they think they're the
can
only
you imagine,
ones doing
like,
it.
I dare you to eat one of these cupcakes. Like, dude, like, this
you know,
is
I used
delicious.
To eat bugs before they became cool.
This is
you know,
marvelous.
I've eaten bugs, but never in baked goods.
They're also very low calorie, too.
That's true.
We went to a place in D.C., and somebody dared me to eat
me.
A grasshopper taco. And
I
did
said,
it.
Do not do this thing.
And yeah, he did.
Do not do this awful thing.
But you know, I'm adventurous and I like to try new things. And I will tell you like
I wouldn't kiss her for a week.
The grasshopper taco, it was delicious. And I truly mean it. So
from the way you said it, I honestly was picturing something minty and alcoholic, so
No, but it just
it was bugs.
It was
That's cool by me. I've eaten bugs
in
before.
In many when other countries, they eat bugs.
Hey, even in this country, the Indians eat bugs.
You know, there's probably bugs in ketchup, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, there are bug parts in most things we eat that are processed.
So, okay.
Right, but not giant scoops of grasshoppers. All right, so bugs. Yeah, so don't eat bugs, ladies and gentlemen. They're gross, and I won't kiss you.
They're lovely. They're lovely, everyone. And
they're a good source
and
of protein.
They will mess with your mind.
I thought there were a lot of strong female characters in this movie. You didn't? I did.
So, the first time there are two women on screen, it immediately fails the Bechdel test.
What do you mean?
Oh, so they don't make out.
there's like one instant in the movie when there are exactly two women on screen, and the only line is about Calder.
That's not true.
Yes,
I thought they were talking about the bar.
First of all, there were two women in the scene on the plane. There was the stewardess and there was the witch.
I will clarify the Bechdel test.
Okay.
When there are no men on screen, mm-hmm. only women, mm-hmm. and they are not talking about a man.
Okay.
That passes the Bechdel test. There are very few movies that do pass the Bechdel test.
Well, the movie was sort of about a man, so
right.
I don't really think this test is
I thought the, first, I thought the first time that the two girls were together in a shot, the two women together were in a shot, was in the bar, and they were talking about the bar.
No, they were talking about... So the first shot where there were just two women was Chloe and her bartender friend Miranda. And Miranda was saying, I'm getting out of here, Calder's here.
Oh. I thought they said something about the bar first, and then Calder showed up.
Well, I think this calls for another viewing.
We'll have to watch it.
Not
for
necessarily.
A
I mean, you saw it more recently than I did, but I might be having a Mandela effect, so.
I liked the character of Chloe. Whether or not, I mean, Chloe was interesting. The Witch Queen was interesting. Even the lady that played the, you know, that when they went to the place where all the old women were.
All the fake
the models.
People who had the glamour enchantments.
Yeah, and I thought that was.
Thought that was a great.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Concept.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was great.
She even says something like, we're all pretending to be things we're not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Chloe saves him in that scene because he wants to remember things from
the
past.
She does say, if you don't wake up, we'll both die. But he can't die, so what would happen?
Well, he would be very badly slapped around.
He would be given a sternly worded letter?
No. They'll still do things to his body. It's just that he'll heal it.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name? Belial did the same thing to him. He did stuff to his body, but, you know, he healed him.
Uh-huh. I think what she meant, but it wouldn't be that good to say as a line, was something like he would be trapped forever in his head. If you're too long in the dream, you'd be...
time, you'll forever in the dream.
I think so.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Could
so,
be.
But, you know, it would be awkward to say, you know, if you don't come out now, you're going to be forever trapped in your dream. It's just...
So the funny thing is, I didn't think Chloe was an especially strong character. However, he couldn't have accomplished his goal without her.
True. Also, I wanted to bring up that according to the trivia, the alert on Chloe's phone says, Miranda's feed. G Warlock Master 18, retwitched your Twitch. The Witch Hunter is genocidal, an immortal fascist, a scarecrow filled with henbane.
How did you capture that, Pete?
It's on IMDb.
I did. It's on IMDb.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which means that somebody captured it and typed it into IMDb because, they had bought the disc and they felt they really ought to get their money's worth by getting their...
By golly, and that's a great little bit of trivia.
Especially
the fact that it's twitching rather than tweeting.
Yeah.
For a two-hour movie...
Because they're witches, get it?
I think that they did a lot of nice things with Chloe. Think that... she was an independent woman. She owned her own business.
Past tense. Owned.
Well, owned, yes, but...
Sure she had insurance, come on.
You know, she stated that she had insurance. I don't know why that, you know, she's saying that they ruined her life. She could have gotten a really good payout. It's not like the insurance would deny that Calder was there burning the place down.
Well, I think because that was something that she put her life's work into, is like making it, like he even said, you have a beautiful place here. It wasn't just that she could get insurance money that because the bar burned down, but that it was a lot of time and effort and probably spells to make the room look the way it did.
Sexy?
Sexy. Witch sexy. Yeah.
It was witch sexy.
And cozy.
So
and
everybody
romantic.
In that bar that was a witch was descended from the same line of witches.
Oh, I like the way your brain works. I wasn't even thinking
Yeah,
that.
So they're all related. It's not just a bar, it's a family reunion, which means the people that go there to pick up chicks.
Yeah, but after that many generations, I'm not sure that you necessarily can consider them related.
Yeah, maybe they were from different parts of the world.
Maybe. You know, there could be like a one of the storyteller games about the, you know, the bloodlines of witches.
Yeah, someone could actually make a game based on,
you know,
my family
comes from, you know, England, Scotland, Ireland, that area there, but after 800 years, you know, I have a cousin who's 37 times removed.
You go for it.
Does that still count as family?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I guess if you're into that, maybe.
Wow.
But what I'm saying is that the Hexen supposedly stopped around 4,000 years ago, with the Witch Queen being one of the last of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, after 4,000 years, I don't think this is really family reunion.
Yeah. I actually, there are a lot of parts of the mythos of this world that I would like to know more about.
Oh yeah, it's interesting.
In fact, all of the characters I felt were strong and interesting characters that I wanted to know more about. And I don't think they developed them all to my satisfaction in the scope of the movie.
Oh, come on!
Well, it just
That's why they're having a second one.
I wish they would have a second one.
You know,
they are having a second one. It's in development.
I think that's awesome. We know that Chloe has a brother. We know that he was aggravating the shit out of her, and she did something to him. And that's why she didn't want to go into Calder's mind. We know that she felt lonely for most of her life. And even though she was a people person.
I did like her. I mean, I thought that they didn't seem to portray her as a strong woman, but she saved the day.
I guess you're not a woman, so I don't know.
I'm curious what other women think of it. We should have asked another woman to podcast with us tonight,
so that
we could get another perspective.
We can totally do that. But
and you know, anybody who's listening,
I mean,
if anybody's listening,
she stood up to the freaking witch queen.
Let us know.
I think that's
a
pretty freaking strong woman. You know.
And also, I would like to know.
We're not arguing it.
Right.
Okay.
I would also like to know more about 36th Dolan. You know, he's been with Calder a long time.
But he calls him kid.
Right.
Because he's obviously younger than Frodo when he got on board as the 36th Dolan.
Yeah.
And so what I would like, I would like a prequel.
You'd like the prequel?
The most compelling story in this movie for me, let's cut to the end and say what happened. What happened was he had an opportunity to kill the Witch Queen, but it would kill him as well. He chose not to kill the Witch Queen, keep her heart alive, so that he could continue to be an immortal witch hunter because Chloe talked him into it.
Well, because Chloe said, I saw...
Right, because there's things other than witches
that are really bad,
and
they're waiting
away.
For you to die. So stay alive and you'll...
Right, but that wasn't the compelling story to me. The other things was not the compelling story to me. The compelling story to me were the hints of historical events that they dropped throughout the movie.
What, like him meeting Hitler and
him
Stalin?
Him meeting Stalin, Hitler, and Napoleon. That was interesting to me. Also, you know, I used to kill all the witches I saw until the peace treaty.
You
want to know
see,
what happened
you
to cause
see,
that peace treaty to
you
happen.
You want
to
see a movie with a peace
so
treaty.
So I would like to see, and there's 800 years of story for Calder.
Wow.
It would be kind of cool to see a prequel anthology.
Yeah.
You know? To make it like a 5 sequences from Calder's life.
Yeah.
Well,
that leads up to that, in the last one being him meeting Dolan the 36th.
Maybe somebody could pick that up on, you know.
Yeah, I'd even take it as a graphic novel.
Netflix or something. Or a graphic novel.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, we usually do ask this question. Pete, what was your favorite scene in the movie? Did you have a favorite?
I think my favorite scene was the opening bar scene.
Okay.
Chloe's bar?
Yeah, in Chloe's bar. I think that was my favorite scene.
When they were haggling over the price, like she says 500.
Well, not just that, but like getting the feel for the atmosphere of what it's like in that culture.
Okay.
The witch culture.
Yeah, getting that feel for the witch culture. Mm-hmm. When they feel safe and away from, you know, from human eyes kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, what was your favorite scene?
I'm bouncing around because...
Oh, me.
No, I like happy endings, so...
Oh, yeah.
I liked the ending when they were driving off. But I would say the scene that I liked the most was sort of giving us some character background. I think it was Calder.
Calder.
I'm sorry, did I say it wrong?
Yes, you did.
Say it again.
Calder. Like a cauldron.
Okay. They're sitting in front of that building, and he said, I saw when they laid the groundwork for this building.
Oh, the cornerstone, yes.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite scene, because we really got some history, and we got mm-hmm. some character development, and
you get the fact that immortality is a weight.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And the heaviness of that, and he was talking about kind of the forces of evil too there, and he was saying, yeah, there were all these bodies that they found there, and guess what they did? They just built right over them, you know? So, yeah.
And he called that out as being evil.
Yeah, he did. Well, it is evil.
Right.
So,
And they clearly could have used that as a source of food. I mean, what the heck?
Oh, my God. Wow. I didn't think of it like that. But, yeah. So, Chris.
Yeah.
Your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when they brought the Irishman to the Witch Council. And he was just, like, mouthing off the whole time. Yes. I captured this. This is fantastic. This was one of my favorite lines in the whole thing. Let's see if I can find it.
What? You look like a terrible band from the 80s.
That just had me on the floor. Because they did.
They did look like an alternative band from the 80s.
Right. And what I liked about that scene was it added way more depth to the movie than I think it really intended.
Hmm.
Because what it showed was that there's this witch council, but they're really toothless.
And they're also really out of touch.
Right.
It's the other way to look at it.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, it gave... this layer of history to witch culture, I'm not sure if it was intended, but what it struck in my mind was the fact that nobody's really paying attention to the people that are supposed to be in charge of them. Right. And nobody cares about their disfavor.
Nobody's watching the watchers.
Right.
Hmm.
I mean, do you think I'm reading too much into that?
No, I think that's a good call, actually.
I didn't think they were toothless, though, because they had that big sentinel.
I think they're
toothless
like that all through the movie.
Yeah, and, you know, somebody takes them out pretty easily.
You mean the witches?
Yeah.
The witch council.
Well, yes. The leader of the witch council died, but I thought that was kind of good because that meant she wasn't corrupt.
Well, it's not just that. It's also cool enough the fact that, you know, all along, once the bad side realized that they weren't killing bad witches, they were incarcerating them, suddenly it becomes the largest coven ever.
Right.
Oh, yeah. When they're sitting down and Vin Diesel's talking to Michael Caine, I should use the character names, but since I'm not pronouncing it right, I don't want to do it. They're talking about...
It's like called...
Okay. So when they're talking to each other, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, we've been collecting these evil, evil, rotten people, and yeah, we've been putting them together. It's like, yeah, wait a minute. Yeah.
How could this possibly go
wrong? How could this possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong in a situation like this?
Right.
No, men don't have feet.
Because nothing ever goes wrong when you collect all the evil witches in one place.
Well, it's like when you get all the bad villains together in... What's the prison? In...
Asylum?
Yeah. Exactly. And then...
Well, I was thinking of the one in Marvel.
And then there's...
Which,
you know,
which also has kids.
Breakers Island?
Yeah.
And then a catastrophe happens, and they all get out, and then it's World War III, and it's horrifically dangerous. Speaking of horrifically dangerous, did anyone think it was kind of weird that the guy just randomly sort of was trashing the bar? I didn't really get
why So I finally figured it out. He was trashing the bar because Chloe had the power to give him a memory spell. And he had to keep Chloe from giving him a memory spell. So he had to trash the bar because that was all of her resources.
Yeah, that's kind of what I picked up on also.
Oh.
Which is also why they attacked her house in case she had a backup supply.
Right. And they went to the
And they killed her supplier.
They killed her supplier, right. They killed Miranda supplier. And took her supply. So because, I finally figured out, you know, like, okay. While he was trashing the bar, I'm like, this seems a little gratuitous.
But because they didn't know she was a dream weaver?
Dream.
Wait, is it not dream weaver? Is it? Okay, I'm sorry. Is she not called a dream weaver?
She's a dream walker.
Can we play her voice? Because I really like her, Chloe's voice.
Which means to say that if you die in there, you also
can't die anywhere.
I have to make a disclaimer for my insurance.
I love that line too. I have to make a disclaimer.
As many problems as I had with the script, there were some good lines in here.
Yeah, there were funny bits.
Like this one. This is another one of my favorites.
Never in the history of the Axe and the Cross has a Dolan ever been murdered.
You want to quit?
No. I want to raise.
Yeah. Now, right there, you can't tell that he's screwing him over. Like, you genuinely believe he's a good guy, yeah. I think.
I think.
You can...
Actually, at that point, what I was thinking was, maybe my suspicion was wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, I did suspect him, too, but I didn't know for
sure. It's kind of like
having
James Woods in a movie. It just...
Right. Well, you know, or Walken, you know. Is Walken ever a good guy?
I don't know. You know
I'm not sure.
Yes, in Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
I like the voice of the Queen, too.
Uh-huh.
She was
dubbed.
Oh, she was dubbed.
That was not the actress's voice, I'm sure.
Oh.
The actress is Dutch, right?
Yeah, she's Dutch, and I think this is her first, her American movie debut, so I don't think that was her voice.
The first time we ever saw Rudger, he was dubbed also. So.
Oh, yeah.
We should have gotten somebody Wiccan to watch this.
I don't think so, because
no.
I think, okay.
You think they'd pick it apart?
I think this is offensive to Wiccans, because Wiccans think, you know, Wiccans would say, it's not a
They're
bloodline, it's a religion.
Stupid.
You know, and the witches aren't evil. And, like, the evil symbol was a pentagram, and a modern-day neo-pagan witch would get offended by that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is probably not going to appeal to, and maybe that's, you know, part of why it failed, because part of its audience, the fantasy, you know, crowd, is pagan and would be offended by it.
Hmm.
I mean,
well,
that could
have
been a failure of the producers.
She does say, you know, well, how do people think of us? You know, we don't have green faces and wear pointy hats.
Right.
So, you know, she did.
But at the same time, it's a race. It's not a religion.
Right, but I guess the concept that they had for this movie was
right.
that...
It's not our world. That's what I said earlier. It's not, you know, the witches that... You know, nowadays you might find a bar like that, a witch bar in Manhattan, but it won't be people who are, you know, of the same bloodline using magic. It'll be people who are, you know, go to the incense store.
So we need somebody who's Wiccan to leave a comment on our page.
And they'll be like, how could you say those things?
You know,
and I'll be
if this movie offended them or didn't offend them.
Or this podcast offended them. And the more I talk, the more I'm offended.
Or to the point, if Chris offended them.
Or if I offended them.
Yeah, I mean... But,
it's like, back off from the pagans, dude.
What might offend somebody is that the witch on the plane was young, and Vin Diesel kind of told her she didn't know what she was doing. But on the other hand, she didn't know what she was doing.
She
almost brought down the plane. And I liked that opening scene, too, because I thought... Okay, here we go. You get to see it actually wasn't the opening scene, because the opening scene was him way back in time killing the queen. And
well.
I thought that was a great transition to go to modern time. Like, you know that when you're on a plane that you're in relatively, later 1900s or 2000s. And then... Just the way he did the thing, and he did the little spell to find who it was, and then he dumps water on the guy's lap to get him to move, and just sits down and starts talking to her, and she's hesitant, but, you know, she knows who he is. And then she had some kind of things in her bag that were causing the weather disruption. And I don't know, because I'm not Wiccan, so I don't know if that would... offend somebody or not, that she just threw these ancient artifacts in her bag and they stuck together.
I think it would, because it's saying that somebody in that social strata, that social style, that that aesthetic, into that lifestyle, has no idea what they're doing. And, you know, that would probably offend most people who actually believe in this faith.
Yeah, but then you have Chloe that does know what she's doing.
Right.
So there are good and bad people.
So immediately after saving the plane,
right,
with a bit of swagger,
yes,
he goes over and flashes his grin at a stewardess. Sorry, a flight attendant.
Yeah, he talked to her earlier, too, because he said about the place where she lived.
That was after.
Oh, was it?
That was after, yeah.
Okay.
And there was some brown chicken, brown cow.
And there, so, yeah, there was a little bit of Waka Chica.
Waka Chica.
So, like, is Calder too cool to be real? Is he, like, a Mary Sue character?
Come on, he's lived for 800 years, Chris.
Yes, but see, this is tough call because whenever you play with an immortal, a potentially immortal character,
mm-hmm,
you figure they've got to have some kind of game down pat.
Yeah.
After 800 years. My question is, why isn't he bisexual?
How do you know he's not?
Because he doesn't show any interest in some of the sexy guys around him.
Maybe he's gotten sick of it.
Well, maybe he doesn't
I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. He doesn't have to be.
No, he doesn't have to be, but, you know, why not experiment more? Why not get out there?
Were there any bisexual characters in it? We don't know.
Probably all of the pagans, because... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just throwing that out.
Oh, my God. Why? What the hell? So, anyway... No, I think that... Again, you know, you get one of those... I think there are two things that are inherently sexy about immortal beings.
You're thinking of, like, Lestat.
No, I'm not just thinking about Lestat. I'm thinking about, like Connor McLeod. And, you know, people like that. People who have lived forever and they have this kind of... They kind of have this sardonic weight on them. And that's kind of sexy.
Well,
I
think his character just was into women. I think that's... just where they went with him.
Sometimes a bro is just a bro.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that.
Would you kiss Vin Diesel, Pete?
Yes. Oh, yep. I thought you meant me.
Okay.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, so... Okay, well, now...
I might lick his bald head, but I wouldn't...
I'd kiss him and I'd give him a back rub, but I think that's about as far as we'd go.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
So.
Oh, I'd like to give him a foot massage. Because I'm a married woman, so I like the music.
I don't know if he's too cool for school because of the fact that, you know, you are dealing with an immortal being here, and that's where it kind of throws average Joe out the window. You don't have a everyman immortal.
Yeah, I mean, he would be a better fighter. He would know a lot about history, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
He would know a lot about witchcraft. I don't think he was too cool.
He knows he's got to relieve that tension from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he knows he's got to go and get a massage. We'll put it that way.
Well, you said you liked happy endings.
Could we dial
it back a little bit?
Sweet mother of God.
Well, hey, I'm going to
run. So, how were the, I have to ask the sighted men, how were the effects? Like, how were the demons, and how were the, how was the big creature? I mean, did you guys believe it? The Sentinel,
there were some
CGI?
Good bits in this, in that they didn't go super over the top.
Yeah, I thought the Sentinel was great.
And
very,
the tree?
Very understated in a lot of ways.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't really thought about that, but it is. There's not a lot of CG effects going on.
And the demons were good?
The demons, those were all practical effects. Those were all real people in makeup.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was like a memory thing inside the tree. In the beginning, I'm talking about, when the soldiers went in.
Yeah, well, that was all done with, just by cutting, you know, by editing, cutting the camera. And
so it looked good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it looked great.
Good. Okay.
And the set looked really good. I mean,
really good.
The tree effect.
Did they film it somewhere cold? Does anyone...
No, it was a set, but it was...
Okay.
There's actually some information on IMDb about the set. There was actual wood there, and they actually burned it.
Oh, yes. Okay.
They built it on what's called a rain set. It's one that's developed specifically to create rainy effects.
Oh.
So that was the way they could keep the fire from getting out of hand.
was there's both the sprinklers on the ceiling was waiting to go.
That is very cool. And I also want to say that I thought the audio description for this movie was really good. So
yeah, the Blu-ray comes with audio description. So
if you're a blind person, you want to watch this movie,
go buy this movie because
it's a good one.
It's not as bad as the critics say.
It's not bad at all.
So this got panned by critics.
I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that it had so much of Vin Diesel's fantasy character in it that that's kind of what they aimed at.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. I felt like they were focusing too much on the fact that he was using, a tabletop role-playing game character as the basis.
I'm tired.
Didn't have a problem with it.
I'm tired of critics dissing on fantasy movies, and that's why we do a fantasy movie podcast, because...
So that we can diss on fantasy movies.
Right.
And you know what, honestly,
there is a lot in this movie that we could snark at, that we could pick fun at.
Could, because you're mean.
Well, no, if I decided to, pick on the objective quality of, say, the script. It had some problems. The acting. There were some holes in it.
A bit stilted, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were places in it that just, they might have, done better by doing a couple more takes, or maybe revising the dialogue a little. And there's parts of it that kind of don't make sense.
Which part doesn't make sense for you?
Well, that all the witches are a bloodline doesn't really make a lot of sense in the world.
Oh, you just let it go, Chris.
No, I'm just telling you, these things are these are things we could pick apart, and there are other things in the movie that we could pick apart. Like the fact that Calder decides that continuing to live on is better than objectively saving the world for the final time from the witch.
It didn't bother me at all. I had zero problems with that. I had zero problem with witches.
The problem here is that he's got this immortal witch heart that allows him to remain immortal, or he's got this witch heart that allows him to remain immortal. Why doesn't he just put it inside his own body?
That's a good point.
Like, why didn't he eat it?
Maybe because somebody could pull it out.
Well, they would try to.
Right.
If he puts it deep enough inside his body, there would still be quite a thing to pull off, considering what a kick-ass he is.
I agree, but there were two points in the movie where he was completely helpless in front of an enemy.
Well, that was just silly.
Right, it was poor planning. Yeah. So this has a 16% freshness rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. That is certified rotten, my friend. Yeah. So... nearly universally panned by critics.
Yeah. So, what would we rate it?
I would rate it not nearly as bad as the critics do. But actually, before I give my rating, I want to ask you guys what you think would have made it more appealing to the critics. Where did the critics...
The critics didn't like it because it was a fantasy movie.
But there are fantasy movies that the critics do like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter.
Okay, Lord of the Rings is an epic, and the reason that critics like Harry Potter is because of the book sales. And because they can't mock something that millions and millions of people love.
The Harry Potter movies are not that good.
Well, I agree, but the critics did like them.
They're not, and I'll tell you that right off the bat. I'm going to rate this higher...
What are the freshness ratings on the Harry Potter
movie? That's a good question. My least favorite Harry Potter movie was 4, so I'm going to look at that one, okay?
That's fire, yeah?
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes rates that one at 88% freshness.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's ridiculous.
This was more of a popularity contest than it was.
Yeah, absolutely, it's a popularity contest.
So that's what we have to look at.
Audience rating on Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, 74, below the critics' expectations.
Hmm.
Audience rating on The Last Witch Hunter, 43%.
Yeah, so people in the audience liked it better.
Yeah, so what was it that it failed to capture critics' attention for?
I guess it just wasn't as tight as it could have been. I think you called it. I think there's a lack of tightness to it.
I didn't think it was especially... So, I liked it. I mean, spoilers, before we get to our ratings, I liked it. That said... Sharon is saying, what do we rate it? So, Sharon, since you want to tell us, what, on a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, how do you rate The Last Witch Hunter?
I would rate it 4 gold pieces because it was exciting. It was interesting. I think a good sign of a movie is if I can watch it a second time and find new things And I did. And I chuckled. I thought the acting was good. I wouldn't say that it was as good as Stardust, but I would say that I think it should go down in fantasy watchers of movies.
So you think it's a must-see fantasy movie?
I think so.
For people who like fantasy movies.
As much as, please, I know you're going to disagree with me, but as much as Excalibur, and you know, I love Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. I think that it's up there. And it has Vin Diesel in it.
It does have Vin Diesel in it. I can't argue with that.
You know?
And actually, I really like Vin Diesel.
And Vin Diesel taught Judi Dench how to play D&D. So
yeah, right.
I think the second one is going to be even better.
I hope they do a second one. I said doo-doo.
You said doo-doo.
You said doo-doo. You so said doo-doo.
So, Chris, I am really interested. You're probably going to rate it lower than my 4 gold pieces. So go ahead and give it your 3-point-something.
I am going to rate The Last Witch Hunter 3 gold and 2 silver. And the reason being is it does have flaws. And these are flaws like, you know, the acting is a little bit hard to swallow a couple times. But I'm bumping it up higher than any of the critics saw fit to bump it because I did enjoy it. And also, it's an original property. This is not someone else's... It's not even from a book. It's not from a novel. It's not from a comic series. This is an original story, an original character appearing, you know, debuting on the screen, which I think you never see anymore.
No, because people always want to be safe, and they want to... It's all about making money, and it's all about, oh, let's take this classic book, or let's remake Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or let's remake The Wizard of Oz, and... You know, I like directors that have some guts and some, you know.
Oh, and that's another thing I like. This director, and he hasn't directed a lot of things, but he directed the very best Dirk Pitt movie there ever was.
I don't know about that.
Yes,
one, so.
The only Dirk Pitt movie there was.
You know, it's funny because I enjoyed Sahara.
I did too, and the thing that I loved about Sahara was Steve Zahn.
Oh my God, yes. Is Dick Giordano?
Yeah, so like, now we gotta find a fantasy movie with him in it.
I loved William H. Macy as the admiral.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to ask Pete now.
Okay, so yeah,
yep.
Pete, on a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, how do you rate The Last Witch Hunter?
I'm going to rate this 7 electrum pieces.
That's 3 gold and 5 silver.
Correct.
So he's right in the middle of both of us. Wow.
Or 3 gold and 1 electrum.
I agree with both of you.
Safe answer.
But I feel that it does lack a certain tightness that I would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that I think other people should definitely see.
Mm.
And I did definitely enjoy it, and I love the fact that it is an original property, and it was fairly well carried out, and the fact that they went low key with the special effects, they didn't go crazy with the CGI.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely in its favor. And I think that some of the zingers were very well thought out.
Hmm.
Which makes me happy. I like it when there are good zings, like You Look Like Bad 80s Man.
And will you go and see the next one?
Oh, God, yeah.
We
I
go
saw this
us?
One in the movie theater, okay. So I'm going to go see the next one.
Oh, great. Well, that's wonderful.
Well, thanks for joining us, and if you stick with us until after the or into the end music, you will hear how to get a hold of us, and we really want to hear from you. Join you next time.
Much more fantasy.
And we forgot to let our listeners know, so I'm adding this in post, but our next movie that we are going to talk about is going to be the 1982 classic The Beastmaster with Mark Singer. And after that, we are going to do Death Note, not the entire 37-episode run of the anime, but instead the new Netflix adaptation and Americanization of same. So join us then. Thanks for staying with us to the end of the episode. If you enjoyed this show, please go to iTunes and or Stitcher and give us a good review. That'll let us know what you think and also help other people find the show. Dragon Reel would love to hear from our listeners. You can email us at dragonreelpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/dragonreel. Join us on Twitter at twitter.com/dragonreel. If you want to comment directly on any episode of Dragon Reel, go over to our website, dragonreel.com, and leave us a comment.
You can also give your rating of the movie yourself on our scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces. You know, the best way to enjoy the episode is to watch the movie with us, so while you're at our website, click our Amazon links to get your copy of the movie. If you go to Amazon from our site, you can buy anything on Amazon and they will give us a few copper pieces to keep our show going. Our music is by Maggie Sansone and is used with permission. You can find this music and much more at maggiesmusic.com. Please join us again next episode.